which I feel is both inspiring and also hope-giving. As Mother Dina Sharana explained really nicely, the austerities of going out and distributing the books of Srila Prabhupada in a time when when it's very cold and outside, when the temperature is very cold, and also maybe when the hearts of the people are a little cold, is a great austerity. It's really a great austerity. Sometimes when we do this service of going out and performing so much austerity, it's not always easy for us. When I was a book distributor, I did the service full-time for 5 years and then part-time when I became a translator, also for another maybe 2 to 3 years. Then I became a full translator because we wanted to bring out the books of Srila Prabhupada in Germany with a special emphasis. So when I went out, I discovered a principle which I've never forgotten, a principle which I would like to share with you today. What happened was relatively simple. It was in Hamburg, in the Mönckebergstraße, where we distributed books during the winter time. It was cold and windy, as it is in Hamburg during this time, and it was difficult for me because people were just running by me. I couldn't stop them, the books were really not going out, and I began to doubt if I was at the right place. So just when I was doubting this, I heard a weak little voice behind me. Oh, younger man, young man. And then I turned around, I saw a fragile little Oma, an elderly lady, who had called for my attention. And she asked, "Do you distribute Ishopanishads?" And I couldn't believe that she was interested. So I doubted maybe there was some trick or something, some evil intention behind the little innocently smiling Oma. I said, "Well, why?" And she said she had a reading circle of about 20 or 25 people who read regularly in Vedic books, and this circle she had opened or had heard that there is a new translation of the Ishopanishad available in German language, translated by the distinguished monk Babubad. So she couldn't say the name properly, but I immediately felt my heart banging in my chest, and I said, "Yes, yes, yes, I'm a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, that's his name, and there is such a new edition with me, and how many would you like to have?" And the Oma said, "Well, 25 now." It's all right. Hare Krishna. Maharaji has encouraged me to say Hare Krishna. Carry on. Difficult to sit in the right way. So, anyways, so she wanted to have 25 Ishopanishads, and I went to the place where the books were. I went to other devotees, and no one could believe me when I said I had distributed 25 books for people who were really eager to have them. So I remember after having served the needs of this elderly lady, and we had made a contact, and I visited her center later, and they took more books. After having done this, I wondered, was I really distributing 25 books in one? Was this really me? Well, what was me was the person who doubted book distribution, and what me was the person who thought maybe I'm at the wrong place and should go to the wrong temple. I really didn't distribute these books. The I part in all this was the doubter in Sankirtan. So then who distributed this books? And who was making the arrangements? And when I was thinking like this, I developed this thought that Srila Prabhupada was the one who sent me out, and Krishna made the arrangements for the elderly lady to come on that day and meet a young book distributor on the Mönckebergstrasse in Hamburg. I was only an instrument. Throughout my life, I have never forgotten this initial principle and initial lesson, that whatever happens really, which is spiritually, is happening due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And the only credit which maybe I should take is that I somehow happened to be at the right place and was taken as an instrument. This concept of being an instrument, and being an instrument which is used or handled or moved by Guru and Krishna, is a concept which will attract a lot of mercy in your life. Someone who can think in this concept, that I'm here on the street and I'm now putting myself at the disposal of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, he will be used very easily. Someone who is really training this concept, that I'm here on the street on behalf of a higher authority, and I'm sent out by this higher authority, he develops this humility which is necessary for someone to be really taken as an instrument. Throughout Sankirtan, I was always successful when I could surrender to this principle of putting myself into the hands of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and I always suffered because I could not surrender with my rebellious mind to this principle. Whenever I could surrender to this principle, eventually, sometimes it takes, one is tested a little, do you really want to be an instrument? But if one surrenders to this principle in a humble state of mind, the word impossible just stops to exist in one's life, because for Krishna everything is possible. For the spiritual master also everything is possible, because he is a dear servant of Krishna. As soon as we become connected, by Krishna's mercy, something happens. See, there is a principle in Krishna. Krishna wants to work through instruments. God looks for hands in this world, and the hands are his devotees, the devotees through which he can work. So if you want to become a hand of God in this world, you just have to go and make this known to him by rendering your service in this spirit, and by sometimes leaving your comfort zone and going into the risk zone. I like very much how Dina Sharana Mataji was telling us how we are sometimes increasing our comfort zone, we older devotees. I think you Sankirtan devotees are not doing this. You're going out into the risk zone. You risk to meet some cold weather and some cold hearts. If you can do this by practicing the instrument consciousness, then you will see how you experience all of a sudden how Krishna grabs you and moves through you, how you become the glove of Krishna. Glove means hanshu. Krishna's hand goes into you who agree to become a hand of God, and then all of a sudden things do happen. I don't want to talk long, but I thought to read to you something which Prabhupada wrote about this instrument consciousness. Prabhupada will give two examples from Krishna Leela of devotees who became an instrument. He will talk about Muchukunda, who was in the cave and who burned this evil demon Kalayavana. And he also will talk about Bhimasena, who was empowered by Krishna to get rid of Yarasandra. Then he will talk about a third example, his devotee Arjuna, who became an instrument in his plan to win the battle of Kurukshetra. So I will read this to you now. Kalayavana and the king of Magadha were killed by Muchukunda and Bhima respectively, who acted as agents of the Lord. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees. It means Krishna wanted to show how strong his devotees are, as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotee could take care of the demons. And now Prabhupada says, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself, but just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, Nimitta Matram, Baba Savya Sachin, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What Krishna wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his devotees. I would like to translate this into a Hamburg, the Hamburg scene. Krishna wanted that these elderly ladies who were in this reading circle got the Ishopanishad. This was Krishna's plan for these people. And in order to execute his plan, he took one very unqualified person called Sachinandan Das Brahmachari, who just happened to stumble over the Mönckebergstraße, and used him to execute his plan to benefit these older elderly ladies in Ravensburg. I believe that Krishna has a plan for all these conditions, for many conditioned souls. I mean, he really has a plan for everyone, but with some he just deals through his karma, through their own karma. It's not a very... He has delegated, so to say, his plans to deal with the conditioned souls, to the material energy. But to many conditioned souls, the Lord deals as a personal plan to elevate them, and he uses his book distributors and preachers and so on to meet these conditioned souls and give them the transcendental his transcendental mercy. So I would like to encourage you to just be ready when you go on the cold streets and meet the cold hearts to connect yourself with Lord Krishna and pray to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, please engage me today as an instrument in your plan." And when you do this, you will see you become relaxed because you become full of faith in Krishna. You are not so anxious and so disturbed when by the cold weather and the cold hearts, and you become a little detached, and then Krishna will really use you. And I have often seen this happening in book distribution, and that's why throughout the times, throughout my years, I always have a great appreciation and a great respect even for the hands of the Lord, the book distributors. Hare Krishna. I will just stay to hear Kadamba Karana Maharaj, and then with your permission I will go, because there are many devotees I talk. So Maharaji, you please enlighten us.
Om Gyanati Vandasya Gyanana Silakya Shakshu Yatanya Tasmai Shri. Well, I'm highly appreciative of what I've heard so far from both Mother Dear Sarana and Sarana, as well as from Sachinanda Maharaj. Mother Dear Sarana spoke about the date of yonder on the streets and breaking of the ice in the rivers and all those things. And when our Krishna consciousness was, our movement was fresh, was naive, full of enthusiasm, but not with much foresight. Her story reminded me of one experience that we had, similarly in extremely cold winter conditions and so on. The idea came up of the hotel room, and finally it was decided by our leaders that we could have one, but only one, for four vans that each had. We were more than 20 devotees. So somehow or other we took a room in a motel, and then the one on the outside, so that one devotee could check in, and then all the others could sneak in. So we did. Yeah. And then in order to fit with so many devotees, with 22 devotees, we piled all the beds against the wall, vertical. And, you know, we all dressed up in dhotis, tilak, and we had a big wooden board on the floor with a gas burner and for the khichdi, you know what I mean? And everything was there. And it went fine for the first 24 hours. The first night was great. We had a good sleep, everything. You had two steps for japa if you were walking. And then on the second day, of course, the lady smelled the chons, the lady from the hotel, and screamed. Right? She opened the door, and there we were. Extraterrestrials had taken over the motel. So those were days when, yeah, things were a little wild. Things were very spontaneous, and things were quite experimental. We were mental. You know, as both the previous speakers had mentioned, we were in anxiety while distributing books. The thing that caused me most anxiety was when we were getting innovative and trying to do new programs, and they decided to do hospitals. And we were going in the hospitals during the visitors' hour, and the two devotees, and it was packed because we go in the ward, and around every bed there were many people. And then we would, one would stand on a chair and give a speech, hold up a Bhagavad Gita, and the other one would just give out the Gitas. And then we asked for the donation, you know, and in a hospital people are sort of inclined to give. So they gave well, and then we go to someone who gave, so this man, he gave. So, and then everyone else took some more money. And we did well till the nurse would come in. What is happening here? Well, the charity action. I mean, you know, charity actions. Yeah. You haven't read the letter? Yeah. We'd have to bluff our way out. And, but I haven't seen that letter. Well, no, look in the office. It must be there. We will be with you in a moment. As quick as possible, try to escape. And then run one floor down and do it again. I almost became a patient in that hospital. So these are just a few. It was too much. Yeah, it was so intense. Moments of utmost anxiety. So we were trying to discover novel ways and to somehow or other bring the books to the people. 500 years earlier, Lord Chaitanya had ordered Lord Nityananda to go to Bengal and spread Krishna consciousness. And Lord Nityananda basically went door to door. He went to every house. And he basically approached everyone. And that sort of is the fundamental approach of our movement, to approach people one-on-one, to offer everyone a chance. Of course, then in our Vaishnava tradition, the next Sankirtan, real Sankirtan party is Srinivas, Narottam and Shyamananda's party, who went from Vrindavan and brought the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. And the books made a big difference. Nityananda had done the preaching, but because there were no books, Krishna consciousness was not taking really shape. People were chanting, people were into Krishna consciousness, but they didn't understand really how to conduct themselves, what was bona fide, what was not bona fide, it wasn't clear. So the books are essential. And if we preach without books, we may be successful, but ultimately people will not fully grasp what Krishna consciousness is. We may also think of Lord Chaitanya. He traveled 6 years through South India. And sometimes the question is asked, but what is left in South India of that huge tour? But if we think about it, we can see Lord Chaitanya traveled through South India, and at that time he had no books, no temples, he was not initiating disciples, he had no
he was not representing any institution or anything. He was just by himself. He influenced many people, many individuals. But somehow or other, because of these elements not being there, the book, the initiation, the institution, nothing really substantial became established. So the Goswamis in Vrindavan had the same conclusion and therefore dispatched Srinivas and Narottam that to distribute books in Bengal. They simply did it by, Narottam was from an aristocratic background, so his family agreed to hand copy, to arrange for many copies to be made of manuscripts, Goswami literature. Srinivas convinced a king, and Shamananda also went to Orissa and did the same thing there. And many, many thousands and thousands of such manuscripts were given to devotees. They were not sold, they were given. And to devotees. Even now, thousands of such manuscripts have been recovered in the Royal and found and are found now in the Royal Asiatic Society in Calcutta, just to testify that there really was a very substantial book distribution going on in Bengal. And it said that that book distribution was what made a difference. That's what kind of turned Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Prior to the book distribution, it was spreading through the enthusiasm of different individuals, but it was wild growth. And somehow or other, those who are studying the history of our movement are saying it's amazing what a level of conformity in belief came about in Bengal once the books were distributed. That really established the tradition in Bengal. That's a little history of our movement and the effect of book distribution. Then I thought, back to my stories. In the stories that I was presenting, at least in the last one about the hospital, we were at one point getting into experimenting and looking for novel ways. We were looking for many, many different ways that we could bring books to people. Some were convinced we had to do it through the bookstores and started to go through the stores and try and wholesale books in stores, and some did. And some books were sold through the bookstores. And that is a tradition that also continued. And today, you can buy Srila Prabhupada's books on the internet, and just, you can even buy them in ebook form, download them onto your ebook reader or your computer. So the market of book distribution certainly has expanded over the years. The real hardship is undoubtedly performed on the street. It is there where it began. It is there where our movement sort of came out into the public on the street. That was the stage of communication. On the street, initially, with kirtan and magazines, like sort of a group of devotees going around and all together reaching the public. I also did such type of book distribution in Mombasa. We were doing that I was there in 1979. And we would have big kirtan, and then 300, 400 people stood around us, and then they would leave only two devotees for the kirtan, and then the rest would hand out small books into the crowd. Then we would make a circle around them and would let no one escape and just start taking money. And we would do huge numbers of books in very small books within a very short time with that kind of technique, which for Africa is still something that that might work. So different situations for different places. It is a fact that on the street is a special place, because it's on the street that one just meets people who have no prior connection at all and just enters into their world just like that, out of, as if you've been dropped with a parachute and just there it is, right? And suddenly and it's there it is, they are getting entrance into a whole new dimension. They're not just getting a book, they're getting a huge spiritual dimension in their life. So that is very important, that we appreciate how what a great gift it is to give someone a book. And I think that can, that is the one thing that can really inspire us to deal with the austerity. This year, I was also doing a little book distribution in South Africa, because in South Africa, we have since last year started a new African BBT division, which deals with developing books in local languages in Africa. And BBT divisions don't take off unless temples distribute books, so I took it up to help, at least for South Africa, to get some book distribution going. So I was out on the street, and after quite a long time, I must say, and it wasn't cold, it was the opposite. It was scorching. There was this blasting sun, right? And you have to cover yourself because it's not like India where the sun is mild. It is like heavy UV, and you know, in 11 minutes exactly, you are burnt. Right? In South Africa, it's not surprising that people are black. they are baked. It was intense. Anyhow, the African people, they are very interested. And they all say they have no mind. It was extremely difficult. It was also not so safe. I had my money bag sort of very visible and hanging loosely on my shoulder, sort of like advertising. If you want it, just take it. No need to shoot me in the head. That was the message. Because I thought if it is a little more hidden, they might feel the need to first get me out of the way. So that was, and it's not imaginary, because some of our devotees were held up in the marathon. They were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this year. Yeah. Yeah. But Krishna protects his devotees also. So one devotee was surrounded by three guys with knives, and then just some of the other devotees happened to come and say, maybe we should go to another place. So four devotees came, so then they ran away. So devotees are performing also their book distribution under hardships on the street. And I was speaking to a nice, peaceful man, and then there was some girl that drove by on a bicycle and sort of brushed against him, and he just turned around. And it became a whole violent scene, and I just thought, it's not just a picnic out here. It was tough. Many of the more affluent people were very reserved and were also not so easy to approach, so I didn't do a huge amount of books on the street, although I approached quite a large number of people. I saw many people pass, and I thought, you know, these are the nice people that on planes enter into big conversations with me, and they're very easy to approach. But on the street, they'll never look at me. So in my mind, I also start tossing with the idea, well, you know, am I really in the best place here to reach them? And is this the only way? And here I am doing my small number of books, right? And the others are not doing that much more. Only the superheroes, I don't know how. But somehow or other, you know, always some people, they just mystically, just everyone takes from them. In the old days, they sent me out with this one devotee who could do anything. He would stand on the street and point at the sky and say, "Look!" And everyone would look. And then give him a book. And then they were so shocked, so confused, that anything worked. And I was with him on a parking, and no one would take a book from me. And then he would go to the same people, and then he would take from him. And you know, some people have it. But most of us are just, by hard work, we do something. So I'm not any different than that. By hard work, I do something. But I was wondering, is this the only way? And I think it's not the only way. I think there are many ways. But I do think that we do need our missionaries on the street. Yeah. And yeah, generally young people who have energy, who have health, or diehards. Yeah. But because that sacrifice that is being performed and our movement being so much out there in the front really has proven in the past to bring life to our movement. So much life. So many people came. When book distribution was very much alive in our movement, our temples were filled with new people. They would come. Yeah, I don't think it was just the 70s or this or that. I really think it was because of one-on-one contact. Because they met someone who impressed them, and that made them come to the temple. So I think that the personal approach remains very relevant. But I'm also open to novel ways. I saw a lot of success in our movement in various places, in Spain, for example, on the book fairs, where our devotees were well represented on a book fair, and where so many books went out. Book fairs like a Messe, yeah, so there are creative ways that we can present ourselves, and I think that must also be explored. This morning, as our speakers let the cat out of the bag, right, they were part of the... that cat was also emphasizing the need to just remain very faithful and in line with Srila Prabhupada and distribute books somehow or other. Well, I think that one of the devotees in the world who is sort of who is really beating the Sankirtan drum at this moment is Vaisheshika Prabhu in America, who is a very creative book distributor. He has seen now it is the time of congregation. That's what they were saying this morning, like, you know, the word congregation. We hear the word congregation. So Vaisheshika, very expertly, has reached out to those people who are living in the world, who are active in the world, to somehow or other become involved in book distribution. He has weekend warriors, and arrangements for people to go out on weekends He has all kinds of arrangement. He has stalls. He even has what they call smart boxes, which are put in shops and stacks of books and, you know, a little money box with a lock, right? Like a charity thing. And people, and it works. It works quite well. So I think that he has had so much success in America. I think in Europe we should look at what he is doing. Certainly in Africa we're also looking at that now, although we're afraid some people might take the box. Some people are smarter than the box. But anyway, maybe super glue will do it. We're looking at ways. I myself started a program in South Africa to create a culture. And the culture now is every congregational devotee has to take 10 books. I don't care what they do with it. They can give them away for Christmas. They can forget them in the doctor's waiting room. They can, but they can't keep them in their house. They have to somehow or other pass them on. And so I'm creating this culture, and in a humble way, but in a country like South Africa where they have 10,000 congregational devotees, I hope that one day everyone will take minimum 10, and then of course it will become some take 10, some take more, and then it will become why only Christmas, why not every month, and so on, once a week. There's no end to it. So I hope that in this way, also, we can design a scheme by which book distribution can reach large numbers. And I think street distribution must remain, but the other types are also very relevant and important to be developed. Okay. I said what I had to say. I'm in the same boat as Satchinandan Swami, although I love to be here and to. I have also, I'm leaving tomorrow. Many devotees are asking, can I please speak to you? Some want to permission to get married, some want permission to get divorced, some want. They're all urgent matters, in other words. Some permissions to be given, some to be denied. So. In other words, with your permission, we'll take you on.
Hare.
Hare.
Hare. Hare. Hare.